Time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Welcome back to the Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for another hour of Michigan sports and everything happening inside of the Mid, inside of the sports world. We'll touch in on Michigan, Michigan State for both the men's and women's in the NCAA March Madness tournaments and how their seasons are faring as they begin to come to a close, as either you'll lift a trophy or you'll go home wishing that you did just a little bit more. The Pistons starting to ramp things back up as the playoff push becomes even more evident. The Red Wings trying to do everything they can to scrap their way back into the picture that they had themselves in during the first half of the season. The Tigers opening day, which, yes, apologies for me not getting into that last week. Everything has been absolutely crazy with all the sports happening inside of the state. That slipped through the cracks, that's on me. But we are going to dive into everything that happened in the first day of the Tiger season as we begin to be excited for another MLB season that comes around. And hopefully the Tigers can be back where they were last year and continuing to have success, picking up where they left off in the ALDS. Hopefully trying to get at least an ALCS appearance, if not winning that series to go on to the World Series. And then we'll end things out talking about our picks and getting into all of that like we always do. Another amazing week. I mean, great news for me. I bought a car on Monday, so I've been driving my new vehicle, absolutely loving it of recent. So that's pretty much been on my mind left and right. Getting into spring break as well, so no practice for me in the upcoming week. I have a little bit of time to enjoy to myself, rest, and get prepared for the onslaught that is my high school season. Obviously, tons of basketball to watch. Lacrosse has been off and running, and there's success absolutely everywhere. I'm really excited for the next couple of weeks. Now that we have gotten through the obligatories, we'll start with the Spartans, who took down North Dakota State 92-67 last week, which we talked about in depth. They were preparing to play Louisville, and we got to talk about that game a good bunch last week. And, well, I think things went pretty well for the Spartans in that game against Louisville. Spartans win 77-69. Cohen Carr goes for 21-10, 8 of 13 from the field, 3 of 5 from the free throw line, 16 assists from Jeremy Fears as he sets a record for the Spartans for most assists in two games in the NCAA tournament. He had 12 night one and then 16 night two to combine for 28, which is also tied for the best in NCAA history in two games in the first two weekends, the first two games of the weekend. So this is what you want to see out of your point guard. Spartans shoot 47, 42, 74 in their splits, 15 turnovers, 39 rebounds, led for 90% of the game. Their largest lead was 13. On the other side, Louisville didn't have a bad game whatsoever. I mean, like I said, they lost this game by 8 points. And Ryan Conwell, 21 points, 7 of 15 from the field, 2 of 4 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds for Sonata Frew. And then Conwell also had 4 assists, only 2 turnovers, only 5 turnovers for Jeremy Fears in his 37 minutes of play. Conwell played 34. Louisville shoots 41, 35, 67 from the field, 11% from the turnover, or 11 turnovers, 32 rebounds, 7% they led in this game, and only 4 for their largest lead. This game was at the KeyBank Center in Buffalo, New York. Michigan State escapes with a narrow victory, and they continue on in March. They made it to the Sweet 16 yet again, and their Elite Eight matchup is much more difficult than the matchup they just went through. They're going to have to play yet another very prestigious blue blood program in the NCAA tournament. It's the UConn Huskies, who are a 2 seed 31-5. This game will be, well, was on CBS last night as you were listening to that. The Spartans have had a 46.6% chance to win, 53.4% chance for Connecticut. Connecticut 1.5 on the over-under, negative 125 on the money line, plus 105 for the Spartans. The Spartans average more points than the Huskies, but they give up more points. They shoot about the same. The Spartans grab 3 more rebounds. They have 0.4 more assists, but the Huskies do outblock and outsteal them. The Huskies have 1 loss to St. John's in their last 5, and then those 2 blemishes against Michigan and UCLA still plaguing Michigan State's record. I think this game will have been very great. It's at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. You guys know exactly how that fared. I don't know yet, but I do think Michigan State has a great chance if they're able to contain Terrace Reed on the inside, limit the Huskies to 1 shot per possession, and then they make their free throws. If they can get out and make their free throws and get to the free throw line, State has a very good chance of advancing on and being yet another Big Ten team to be into the Elite Eight. The Big Ten has a chance to get 5 teams in the Elite Eight. 5 out of 6 that we're in. Right? So, I mean, Iowa beat Nebraska, and then Illinois absolutely dominated Houston. Purdue escapes closely over Texas. So that's 3 in already. And if Michigan and Michigan State had both won last night, which you guys know and I don't, then we got 5 teams in, and the Big Ten clearly looks like the best conference in the country. And then it also looks like Michigan has a great chance of winning the NCAA tournament. If the Big Ten is the best conference and they won the Big Ten by 4 games, why wouldn't they be near the top? So Michigan State, like I said, has to contain Terrace Reed and make their free throws, but they could be very well on their way to a matchup against either Duke or St. John's. Once again, another blue bed program that Michigan State's going to have to go through if they want to get to the Final Four. But an all Big Ten Final Four is very much still in the possibility. Michigan is coming up next. They were able to absolutely dominate St. Louis after they dominated Howard, another 20-plus point victory. They won this game by 23, 95-72. It was never really close after the second half. I mean, the first half was close, and that's been a normality for Michigan throughout the season. They win this game 95-72. It was 48-39 at half, and then Michigan ran away with it in the second half. Yaxel, 25 points, 9 of 13 from the field, 4 for 4 from the free throw line. Merez Johnson, 8 rebounds. Elliot Cadeau, 7 assists, 2 turnovers, 37 minutes of play. Michigan shoots 56, 48, 70 in their splits. Only 9 turnovers, 42 rebounds. Led for 88% of the game. Their largest lead was 25. Meanwhile, St. Louis, Amari McCautry did everything he could. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 7-11 from the field. Robbie Avila also cashed in 5 assists, 1 turnover, and 30 minutes of play. St. Louis shoots 44, 31, 53 from the field. Only had 8 turnovers, grabbed 27 rebounds, led for 8% of the game, and their largest lead was 4. This game was also at the KeyBank Center in Buffalo, New York. Michigan absolutely cruising in the NCAA tournament so far. Nothing really pressuring them, but their big game against Alabama that was last night was their, you know, biggest test to this moment in the tournament. ESPN gave Michigan a 72.6% chance to win. Alabama just a 27.4. Michigan comes in as 8.5-point favorites, negative 485 on the money line, plus 370 for Alabama. Alabama has losses to Georgia and Ole Miss in their last 5. Michigan has the 1 8-point loss to Purdue in the Big Ten conference tournament championship game. So I think Michigan is in favor as they do succeed a little over 4 points to Alabama, but they also let up 13 less points than Alabama does. They score at a higher rate. They grab about the same amount of rebounds. They have 2 more assists. They have 1 more block and steals. They let up to Alabama by about half a steal. So they're doing a great job in, you know, being one of the best statistical category teams across the entire country. And I'm really looking forward to hopefully Michigan continuing on, but I mean, they have an Elite Eight matchup that could also be a serious problem for them. Tennessee or Iowa State, a 6-seed, a 2-seed, both of them coming from respectable conferences in the SEC and Big 12. Either one of them pose their significant threats to Michigan, 3-point shooting being one of those. But I got Michigan coming out of this region after the weekend and moving on to the Final Four. Iowa and Illinois guarantee that another Big Ten team is going to be in the Final Four as they will compete with each other. And then obviously Arizona and Purdue will also battle. So I'm excited to see how the Elite Eight will turn out over the next couple of days. And then obviously how hopefully Michigan is moving their way into the Final Four and preparing to win a national championship. Taking a look at the women's bracket, things weren't quite the way that the Spartans wanted them to go. They dropped to the Sooners from Oklahoma, 77-71. Rashida Jones had 20 points, 9 of 17, 1 for 3 from the free throw line. Kennedy Blair, 9 rebounds and also 3 assists, 6 turnovers in 39 minutes of play. The Spartans shoot 43, 38, 44, 22 turnovers, 36 rebounds, led for 37% of the game. Their largest lead was 5, but Reagan Beers goes for 18 points, 14 rebounds, 7-11 for the field, 4 of 6 from the free throw line, and Aaliyah Chavez pours in 6 assists, 1 turnover in 39 minutes of play to lead the Sooners to victory. 42-18, 77, their splits, 23 turnovers, 45 rebounds, led for 53% of the game. Their largest lead was 8. This was a home game at the Lloyd Noble Center in Norman, Oklahoma, so that also played a factor into this for them coming out with a victory. But Michigan State's season is over. On the women's side of the bracket, they went 23-9 this year, 7-4 on the road. So honestly, a great season for them and a couple bounces and mistakes away from them moving on and being in the Sweet 16 on the women's side. So I think a great starting point and jump start for the Spartans to try and get back to the same level again next year. Meanwhile, Michigan dominated North Carolina State 92-63, was never really close in this game. Olivia Olson goes for 27, 9 of 19 from the field, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Mila Holloway, 9 rebounds and 6 assists, 2 turnovers, 35 minutes of play. Michigan shoots 45, 33, 92 in the splits. Only 6 turnovers, grabbed 40 rebounds, led for 81% of the game. Their largest lead was 29. Meanwhile, North Carolina State, Zamaria Jones, 16 points, 6 of 13 from the field, 3 of 5 from the free throw line, 9 assists, 7 turnovers in 40 minutes of play. And then Camille Pierre had 9 rebounds. They shoot 45, 31, 72 for their splits. 22 turnovers, 30 rebounds, led for 4% of the game. Their largest lead was 2. This was a home game at the Chrysler Center for the Wolverines. So they will continue to move on as they dominate again after beating Holy Cross 83-48. Their Elite Eight matchup, their Sweet 16 matchup is against Louisville. A 3 seed that they're going to look to try and have some success against. Louisville has been great this year. They're 29-7. All of their metrics are very similar. They have a 5-point overtime loss to Duke back in the ACC tournament. Michigan has a loss to Iowa, 59-42, back in the Big Ten tournament. Both these teams have looked great. 63.1% chance for Michigan, 36.9% chance for Louisville. You're crazy if you think I'm picking anything but Michigan. Women's team looks great. Put them in the Elite Eight and probably the Final Four as they'll either play Texas or Kentucky, but we'll see how that plays out. I mean, March Madness is continuing to feed us everything that we want that entity to feed us, and the tournaments have been great on both sides. We'll see how they turn out over the weekend. We're rooting for Michigan to get as far as possible. We'd love to see State continue to do well on the men's side. But when we come back from the break, we're getting inside of Little Caesars Arena. We're talking about our Detroit Pistons with more Ben Madness here on 95.3.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to step inside of Little Caesars Arena and lay down the hardwood, talking about our Detroit Pistons. You know where we always start. We talk about the standings and where the Pistons find themselves. They have an X next to their name. And if you know anything about the legend of the ESPN standings and how that works, X means clinched a playoff berth. The Pistons have officially cemented themselves as the first team in the Eastern Conference to grab themselves a playoff berth. Both the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs have already clinched their division. So looking at divisions, why don't we? The Pistons are 8 games above the Cleveland Cavaliers, so they're not too far away from clinching that Central Division. Pistons are 53-20. The Cleveland Cavaliers 45-28. The Bucks are 29-43, 23.5 games back, along with the Bulls, who have that same record. And then the Pacers, who are eliminated from playoff contention, are 16-57, 37 games behind the Pistons. Jumping over into the Eastern Conference as a whole, the Pistons still hold a 4.5 game advantage on the Celtics, who are 48-24. The Knicks are 5.5 games back at 48-26. Then the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Atlanta Hawks, have a 12 game deficit to the Pistons, 41-32, and 12.5 games behind our conference leading Pistons are the Toronto Raptors at 40-32. Those are your top six firmly in the playoffs at the moment. The 76ers are 40-33, 13 games back, and all 14 games back at 39-34 are the Magic, Hornets, and Heat. Those are your 7 through 10 teams who would play in the play-in if the season ended today and the playoffs started in a couple of days. So the Pistons find themselves sitting in third in the league. They're 2 games behind the San Antonio Spurs, 4 games behind the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm not sure that they'll be able to catch either one of those teams, maybe the Spurs, and they end up being second. But 4 games is a hefty margin at this time of the year to try and make some advantages to be the number one overall team in the NBA. But they surely could be too. They're 28-9 at home, 24-11 on the road, 10-4 within the Eastern, within the Central Division. They're 34-12 within the Eastern Conference. They average 117.6 points per game, give up 109 point game, 8-2 in their last 10, currently on a 1-game win streak. Leaders for the team, nothing has changed. Cade Cunningham, 24.5 points per game, 9.9 assists, just 3.7 turnovers, shooting 46.1% from the field in 34.4 minutes of play. Jalen Duren, 19.5 points per game, 10.6 rebounds, shooting 64.3% from the field in 28 minutes of play. Asar Thompson, 2 steals per game, 1.5 turnovers in 26 minutes of play. Isaiah Stewart, 1.6 blocks, 0.3 steals, 5.1 rebounds. The team grabs 45.7 rebounds per game, dishes out 27.3 assists. They have officially surpassed that mark of 24-25 where they had 44 wins. That is the most that they had in the last couple of seasons. They're now up to 53, which I think is the most that they've had since the early 2000s, maybe the early 2010s, but I'm pretty sure the 2000s, back when they were winning the Eastern Conference, going to the Eastern Conference Finals, going to the NBA Finals. So this team definitely has success. Both Duncan Robinson and Caris LeVert are day-to-day at the moment. Looking at how things fared over the last week for the Pistons, they did beat Golden State last Friday, like I said they would, 115-101. And then they beat the Lakers 113-110, which turned out to be a fantastic game, one where the Pistons battled toe-to-toe with Luka Doncic, LeBron James, and company, and were able to come out with a victory. Unlikely hero in this one, Danis Jenkins, 30 points, 11 of 18 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Jalen Duren grabbed 11 boards. Jenkins also had 8 assists, just 2 turnovers in his 39 minutes of play. Pistons shoot 45, 42, 92 in their splits. 11 turnovers, 37 rebounds, led for 71% of the game. Their largest lead was 16. The Lakers, on the other hand, Luka Doncic, 11 of 29 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line for 32 points. DeAndre Ayton grabbed 10 rebounds, and LeBron, 10 assists, 4 turnovers in his 39 minutes of play. 48, 28, 84 on the splits for the Lakers, 13 turnovers, 39 rebounds, led for 23% of the game. Largest lead was just 7. This was a home game at Little Caesars Arena, so that did provide a little extra as they got a career high from Danis Jenkins. He had 6 in the final 34 seconds of play to will the Pistons to victory and ending the Los Angeles Lakers' 9-game win streak. So Pistons were off to a great start into the weekend until they had to go to play Atlanta in the midweek. Well, they welcomed Atlanta into Little Caesars Arena in the midweek. They ended up dropping this one in overtime, one of the best games of the week. Jalen Duren, 26 and 14, 9 of 15 from the field, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Danis Jenkins, another 10 assists, only 6 turnovers in his 45 minutes of play. Pistons shoot 51, 27, 84 in their splits, 14 turnovers, 43 rebounds, led for 26% of the game. Their largest lead, just 5. Meanwhile, the Hawks were absolutely unreal in this game. Jalen Johnson goes for 27 and 12 assists, only 5 turnovers in 42 minutes of play, 9 of 18 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, and then Dyson Daniels grabbed 13 rebounds. The Hawks shoot 48, 35, 71 in their splits, had 20 turnovers, grabbed 50 rebounds, led for 65% of this game. Their largest lead was 21. This game was at Little Caesars Arena, so the Pistons did drop another one at home. CJ McCollum scored 27 as well, making the tie-breaking 3-point play in overtime, lifting the Hawks over the Pistons in this game. So a little damper in the week, but the Pistons bounced back the very next night, another home game against the Pelicans, and they come out victorious, 129-108. Jalen Duren, 30 and 10. 10 for 12 from the field, 10 for 12 from the free throw line as well. Danis Jenkins, another 9 assists, 3 turnovers in 33 minutes of play. Pistons shoot 56, 54, 78 in their splits, 19 turnovers, 45 rebounds, led for 79% of the game. The largest lead, 23. Meanwhile, for the Pelicans, Zion Williamson, 21 points, 8 of 13 from the field, 5 of 9 from the free throw line. Derek Queen grabbed 11 rebounds. And Jeremiah Fears, 6 assists, 2 turnovers, 27 minutes of play. They shot 46, 36, 46 in their splits. 15 turnovers, 42 rebounds, led for 16% of the game at just 5 for their largest lead. So the Pistons end the week on great notes. And that is winning that game and also winning that series against the Pelicans, 2-0 in a sweep there. Their series against the Hawks, they won the series 3-1. They won the first 3 games, 121-12, 99-98, 142-115, then dropped the last one in overtime by just 1 point. And then against the Lakers, I think they've had a fair amount of success this year as well. They win that series and sweep it 2-0, 128-106 in the first game and 113-110. In the most recent game. And then against Golden State also, I don't believe any real problems there. Yep, they sweep that series as well, 2-0, 131, 124, and 115, 101. So zero problems for the Pistons in really all of those series, even though they lost that game against the Hawks. They're looking to end out the season fairly well. They have a game against Minnesota coming up later today, 5:30 p.m. on ABC. Not going to talk a ton about that right now because we'll be getting into that in our picks later on in the show. But then they have a big matchup on a Monday against the league-leading Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder have a 66.4% chance to win this game, just 33.6 for the Pistons. Cade Cunningham is still going to be out with that punctured lung that he has to deal with. Caris LeVert, Duncan Robinson, game-time decisions heading into the weekend. Isaiah Stewart, also a game-time decision headed into the weekend. Oklahoma City Thunder 57-16, 29-6 on the road. Pistons won the first game 124-116. So who says they can't win the second, even though it's down in the Paycom Center in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma? This game is going to be very good and could be a big boost for the Pistons if they're able to win it, especially without Cade Cunningham. It's a large task, but not unsurmountable. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to pull that one out. Then they got Toronto the very next night at home at 8 p.m. And then they welcome Minnesota back for a home game. That one's going to be 7 p.m. on Prime on Thursday, April 2nd, to end out the week. So, I mean, you know, we can dive into this Toronto game for just a moment here. I mean, only given the Raptors a 32.2% chance, which means 67.8% for the Pistons. Emmanuel Quickley still out for the Raptors. Raptors are 40-32 on the year, 21-16 on the road. They're 1-1 in the season series. Pistons won 113-95 in Toronto, then lost 119-108 in Toronto. So they're going to look to close things out, win this series 2-1 heading into this final game at at Little Caesars Arena. And then that other Minnesota game, which we didn't talk about the first one. The second one, Pistons are projected to win 60.8%. Anthony Edwards is out for the Timberwolves, 39.2% chance for them to win. He's a game-time decision headed into the weekend, so maybe he'll be back along with Ayo Dosunmu. So we'll see kind of how that fares when that game comes around. It'll be on Prime Video. This is the first of two matchups that are going to happen in basically back-to-back, or sorry, the second of two matchups going to happen in basically back-to-back days. One is coming up on Saturday or later today, and then the other one is going to be on Thursday of next week. So a lot of action between the Pistons and Timberwolves, but Pistons have a great chance of ending out the season feeling great about themselves going into the playoffs. When we come back from the break, we're going to be getting into the Red Wings after we lay down the ice in Little Caesars Arena. We'll be back with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Mike Rowe on the skills gap and how a student organization known as Skills USA is trying to fill it.
So the thing about Skills USA that's so cool, and the reason that my foundation has supported it for years, is that it's deliberately and intentionally focused on celebrating a skill. 3 million jobs right now exist in the trades and transportation and commerce. The skills gap is real. Training kids and getting them excited to do the jobs that exist ought to be job one. Skills USA does that in a big way. It's about excellence and competition and being good at what you do, and eventually through all of that, learning who you are. Skills USA is working.
Learn more at microworks.com and skillsusa.org.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. We're going to jump into laying down the ice in Little Caesars Arena talking about the Detroit Red Wings before we hop outside and across the street to Comerica Park and talk about the Tigers and how things are faring for them early in the season. In fact, it was opening day this week, so we'll touch into that before we get into our picks to end out the show. Starting with the standings, as we always do, the Red Wings have continued to fall as the inevitable. Ooh, man, you would think I talk for a living, right? Inevitable decline and collapse of the Red Wings has arrived. They've fallen now down to sixth in the Atlantic Conference or Atlantic Division inside of the Eastern Conference. The Sabres at the top, 44-20-8 for 96. Lightning 44-21-6 for 94. Montreal Canadiens 40-21-10 for 90. Bruins 40-24-8 for 88. Senators 38-24-10 for 86. Red Wings 38-25-8 for 84. Maple Leafs 31-29-13 for 75. And the Panthers 35-33-3 for 73. Looking at the entire conference, the Red Wings are now down to 10th in the conference. So much harder for them to be making a playoff push. In fact, they have fallen out of the wild card by a significant margin. Two teams have jumped them for the Eastern Conference wild card. Now holding that second wild card spot are the Islanders, who are 41-27-5 for 87 points, and the Senators are above the Red Wings as well with their 86 points. So the Red Wings have severely fallen off over the last couple of weeks. They're continuing to lose games, and they're losing games in regulation, which means they're getting no points while other teams are continuing to get points and move up the ranks, subsequently dropping the Red Wings down and making it harder for them to get into the playoffs. But they have no one to blame but themselves. As we look at the leaders for the team, DeBrincat has 35 goals, 12 in the power play on 249 shots. He also leads the team in points as he has 39 assists to go with those goals for 74 total points. Lucas Raymond leads the team in assists with 47, 19 on the power play. His plus minus is 9 on the year. John Gibson still leads the team in all three statistical goalie categories, and probably all of those goalie categories. He's got a 2.55 goals against average, save percentage of .906. He's seen 1,246 shots. He saved 1,129 of them, which means he's given up 117 goals on the year. He's won 26 games. The team scores 2.89 goals per game. They give up 2.93, which is good for tied as ninth in the league. Their power play, 21.8%, 14th in the league. And penalty kill, 77.8%, good for 24th. In the league. They're very close to surpassing their mark from last year. They're 39-35. They're 38-25 at the moment. They had 8 overtime losses in that year. They have 8 overtime losses now. Their best record of recent was 23-24, where they were 41-32-9 for 91 points. They're right around the corner from that. Very well could surpass that if they're able to get on their high horse here over the next couple of weeks and have some success as the season prepares to wind down. I mean, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 more games. So they only have to win 4 of them in order to surpass that mark. Maybe have a couple more overtime games to feel comfortable. But, I mean, it's within reach. I mean, the tough game was the one that was last night. You had Buffalo on the road, who's leading not only the Atlantic Division, but the entire Eastern Conference. They've been dominant of the last couple of months since the break. So Buffalo has looked absolutely fantastic, and maybe this is their year. And then you welcome Philadelphia into Little Caesars Arena before going on a road trip. You got Pittsburgh, then back at Philadelphia, and then New York, the Rangers, before you come back home for a long stint against Minnesota, Columbus, Philadelphia, New Jersey, before ending out the season on the road in Florida at Tampa Bay, then at Florida. Definitely a handful of games in there that the Red Wings can win and can find themselves looking to push into the playoffs and find themselves maybe at a wild card spot where they can fight to move up the ranks and maybe win themselves a Stanley Cup. But the work is more than cut out for them. They lost to Boston last week 4-2. It wasn't really close. The Red Wings did open up the scoring. Lucas Raymond on the power play from Andrew Kopp and Patrick Kane. But then David Pastrnak responds almost immediately. Charlie McAvoy and Morgan Geeky pick up the assist there. That was also on the power play. Then Alex DeBrincat pops back into the third period from Moritz Seider, puts the Wings up 2-1. And then Elias Lindholm from Morgan Geeky and Mason Lowry. And then Nikita Zadorov from Morgan Geeky and Charlie McAvoy pushed the lead out 3-2 for the Bruins. And then Marat Kuznetsov on an empty net from David Pastrnak and Elias Lindholm puts it to 4-2. And the Bruins win with no real concerns or heart attacks there for them. And then Ottawa comes into Little Caesars Arena and leaves with a win as well. Brady Tkachuk opened up the scoring in the first period on a power play from Tim Stutzle and Carter Yamanchuk. And then Carter Yamanchuk gets a goal of his own, his first of his season, and I believe, first of his career. This was his NHL debut. He scored from Artem Zub puts the Senators up 2-0. Then Lars Eller from Brady to Chuck puts the Senators up 3-0. Dominic Schein from Simon Evanson and Maurice Seider puts the Wings on the board. Then Dylan Larkin from DeBrincat and Lucas Raymond on the power play gets the Wings within one, but they couldn't cash in later on to get themselves a victory. So two wins to end out the week last week. And then we just talked about what they got coming up. That Philadelphia game is later today, 8 p.m. on ABC. And then you got Pittsburgh on Tuesday, Philadelphia on Thursday again. So the Red Wings have their work cut out for them, like I said, but and it's definitely an uphill battle. And on the other hand, the Detroit Tigers have gotten their season off and rolling, and they were able to do so in great fashion, taking down the San Diego Padres 8-2. They put up 4 in the first, another 2 in the third, another 2 in the fifth. They gave up 1 in the sixth and the seventh each. And then that was their score, 8-2 of things finished out. Skubal picks up the win, 6 innings pitched, only giving up 3 hits, no earned runs, 6 strikeouts. Torkelson walked as Torres went to second. Green, or Torres scored, Green to second, Keith to third. McGonagall doubled to right as Keith scored and Green scored. Torkelson went to third. Dingler singled to left, Torkelson scored, and McGonagall went to third. Meadows singled to left, Torkelson scored along with McGonagall. And then Dingler homered to left center. McGonagall scored on that as well. And then Bogaerts doubled to left as Tatis scored on that for the Padres. And then Loreno homered to left, a solo shot in the seventh. That was all the scoring as the Tigers start the season 1-0. They played again last night, and then they play again later today on MLB TV for all of those games as they will look to win the first season series of the year against the Padres. I mean, an 8-2 start is a phenomenal way to start any season, regardless of how things may fare out over the next couple of days. An 8-2 win to start tells me that the Tigers are in position to start where they had left off from last year. But we'll only find out. Hopefully I'll get a chance to watch one of these games. The game later today is on at 8:40 p.m. MLB TV against San Diego. Then Arizona on the road Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then next weekend series is at home against the St. Louis Cardinal. That is all we have for that segment. We'll be back after the break with our picks here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
3 tours driving Humvees in Afghanistan.
12 years flying choppers.
When my sister came back from her last tour in Afghanistan, she didn't want to talk about it, but she knew I was there to listen.
Sometimes my husband still has difficult memories. They can be overwhelming. With the Veterans Crisis Line, I know where to turn when we need support.
I made the call and got support for my sister.
The Veterans Crisis Line is here for all veterans and their loved ones. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to get into our picks. Remember, you can play along with picks every single week using the chat feature in the 95.3 The Ticket app. All you have to do is listen to the 6 games or contest matches that we select here for our picks. I'm obviously going to do all of my research, deliberation, talking, and junk, trying to prove that I know what I'm talking about and no ball. And then make my picks, and then you get to have the luxury of going back to fact-check me to do your own research, your own deliberation, and make your own decisions. And then you can decide if you know ball better than I do. You listen to those picks, write them down, and then submit them using that chat feature in the 95.3 The Ticket app. And then maybe we'll see if you know ball better than I do. Just don't forget, Jacob thought he knew ball just as good, if not better than I did, and he never, ever knew ball better than your boy. In fact, Jacob went 0-2-1. I went 2-0-1. 2 wins, no losses, 1 tie for your boy right here, because knowing ball is something that I've always had in my back pocket. Been knowing ball since elementary, so I'm pretty solid at the picks. Once again, You can get in on the action with the picks anytime using the chat feature in the 95.3, the Ticket app. Just listen to the picks that we're running here and then make your own decisions and see if you know ball better than I do. Speaking of knowing ball, another solid week for me last week. Went 4-2 as Michigan stomped all over St. Louis. Michigan State took down Louisville. Vandy ended up losing to Nebraska in what was one of the best games of the tournament so far. Illinois smacked VCU around. Gonzaga lost to Texas. Texas looking like one of those teams that was poised to make a run before they lost to Purdue in the Sweet 16. And then Arkansas over High Point with really no concerns there either. So that was a 4-2 week for me. Bumps me up to 21-15 heading into this fresh week. We've got four basketball games, two in the college ranks, two in the pro ranks. And then we got a college hockey game and a UFC fight for us to pick. It's going to be a fantastic week of picks and a fantastic weekend of sports. We'll start with the NCAA Men's March Madness games that we have on our docket. The first is a Big Ten matchup. 9-seed Iowa Hawkeyes, 24-12 against a 3-seed Illinois Fighting Illini, 27-8. This game will be later today, 6:09 p.m. on TBS and True TV. Iowa has a 25.2% chance to win. They're giving Illinois a 74.8% chance. It will be at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. We know exactly how close the games are between these two. We know just how good these two teams can be. We've seen the best of the best in the three-point shooting on both sides. I'm looking back at the schedule to see how this game went. Illinois beat Iowa on the road 75-69 earlier this season. That was the only time these two played against each other. So this is a chance for Iowa to possibly get some get back. They are absolutely rolling right now. I mean, steamrolling, looking like one of the best teams in the country. Looking like, you know, they played well in a Big Ten that was one of the best conferences, if not the best conference in the country. Can the Illinois Fighting Illini slow down the Hawkeyes, who have been absolutely red hot of recent? And I think so. After what I saw from them Thursday night against Houston, where they dominated one of the best teams in the country, a 2-seed, a team that many people felt had a great chance of winning a national championship, was a national champion in many people bracket, and Illinois just wiped the floor with them, made it look easy. I mean, they shot the lights out of the ball. I mean, it was absolutely unreal. They jumped out of the gym. They played amazing defense. They caused turnovers. The Illini looked like they wanted to be the best in the gym. I got to go with Illinois to win this one, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory why, although Iowa will give it a run, it will be a close game. I think Illinois comes out on top. That gets us over into our second March Madness game. That's also later today, 8:49 p.m. TBS and True TV. Another Big Ten team in the Purdue Boilermakers, a 2-seed at 30-8, taking on the Arizona Wildcats, a 1-seed at 35-2. Arizona, 63% chance to win, 37 for Purdue. Arizona, 6.5-point favorites, -270 on the money line, +220 for Purdue. Arizona and Purdue both 5-0 in their last five, absolutely cruising. Arizona took down Arkansas in stellar fashion, 109-88, made Arkansas look like they were just not even close to being the same caliber of team and shouldn't have even been in a Sweet 16 matchup against Arizona. Now they're going to have to take on Purdue. Purdue, I mean, barely outlasted Texas. I mean, they dominated Queens, and then they beat Miami by just 10, and then they beat Texas by 2 on a tip at the last second by Trey Kaufman-Wren. Can they match up with Arizona? Yes. Physically, on paper, yes. But can they match up with them skill-wise? I am not sure. Arizona has looked dominant at many points in this season, including within this tournament. They won big over LIU. Then they won big over Utah State, and then they won big over Arkansas. I don't think Purdue is the team to stop them from winning. They may stop them from winning big, but they're not going to stop them from winning. I have to take Arizona to win this game as well. So the first two teams that I have in the Final Four, are Illinois and Arizona. That's going to take us over into the NBA coming up later today, 5:30 p.m. on ABC, also on FanDuel Sports Network for Detroit and North Extra. The Pistons going on the road to the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Timberwolves 45-28, 25-13 at home. Pistons 53-20, 24-11 at home. Still no Cade Cunningham, but the Timberwolves are without Anthony Edwards as well. They're giving the Pistons a 50.6% chance to win, 49.4% for the Timberwolves. This is the first matchup of two within the week. The Timberwolves will play the Pistons again at Little Caesars Arena on Thursday, April 2nd. Pistons have the one blemish against Atlanta by one in overtime. Timberwolves just beat the Rockets by two in overtime, beat the Celtics by 10, lost to Portland by four, and then dominated Utah and Phoenix as well. So this one's an uphill battle for the Pistons, especially without Cade Cunningham. But the Pistons have played well, and Jalen Duren has stepped up to be an absolute monster during these last few games without Cade Cunningham. I mean, just dropped like 30-12 the other night. Like, that is the kind of success you want to see out of your all-star and out of the second-best player on your team when the top option goes down. Jalen Duren has stepped up and received that role. And also Dennis Jenkins dropping a 30-10 bomb the other night as well. He has been phenomenal in Cade's absence. I think that that trend continues. Maybe Anthony Edwards still sits out of this game and the Pistons are able to grab yet another victory, because that's what I have on my board here, which gets us into our other NBA game for the weekend. The New York Knicks are 48-26. They're 20-17 on the road. They're traveling down to the Paycom Center in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are 57-16, 29-6 at home. This game will be on NBC and Peacock on Sunday at 7:30. Knicks have a 35.8% chance to win, 64.2% chance for the Thunder. Both the teams are relatively healthy. The Thunder lead this season series 1-0. They beat the Knicks 103-100 back on March 4th. Knicks have a loss to Charlotte 114-103 just a couple days ago. The Thunder also dropped a loss to Boston 119-109, but they both won their previous four games before that. I think the trend for this series continues. I think you see another close game, another competitive game, another game that has tons of scoring, because that is what these teams are good at. I mean, between Jalen Brunson and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander alone, you're bound to see 60, 70, maybe 80 points between the two of them, because they just know how to fill the bucket. And I think we're going to see tons of scoring in this game. But I also think at the end of the day, the defense, the pressure, the length, the size, the skill of Oklahoma City Thunder is just too much for the Knicks, and they're going to end up losing yet another close game, and the Thunder will win the season series in a sweep 2-0, as I have the Thunder taking down the Knicks this weekend. That bumps us over to college hockey. Western Michigan makes it into the NCAA tournament. They're the number 4 overall seed. They're going to be playing in the Loveland Regional semifinal against Minnesota State, a team that they took on last year. This game will be 2:30 p.m. ESPNU in this same spot. Can Western come out and dominate Minnesota State again on their way to hopefully progressing through the national tournament and trying to defend their national championship that they won last year? They're definitely a rung below what they were last year, but the success is paved for them. They know how to get it done. They've been here before, so they can absolutely do it again. And I think it starts with a win over Minnesota State, what was last night. So you guys already know how that turned out. I am going to find out next week. But, hey, every once in a while you got to do something cool, and that's like giving Michigan the chance to have three teams moving on. It's Western, Michigan, and Michigan State all still alive. That's going to get us over into our last pick of the week. UFC Fight Night goes down later tonight, 5 p.m. on the prelims, 8 p.m. on the main card on Paramount Plus. Adesanya versus Pfeiffer Israel Adesanya 24-5. Joe Pfeiffer is 15-3. Adesanya 6'4", 185 pounds, 36 on the age, 80 inches on the reach. He's a switch fighter who lands 51.64% of his significant strikes. Meanwhile, Joe Pfeiffer, who's 15-3, is 6'2", 186 pounds, 29 years old, 75 inches on the reach. Orthodox fighter who lands 44.46% of his significant strikes. Takedown accuracy is about one out of every three. Meanwhile, it's much different, just 11.11% for Israel Adesanya. I'm sure this one will most likely stay on the feet for most, which gives the advantage to Adesanya, who has been absolutely unreal in his career when playing mostly or fighting in a mostly boxing style match, and also just his length, size, and speed, and then being able to land with such force has made him dominant. I'm going to take Adesanya again to win this one, which gives me Illinois, Arizona, the Pistons, the Thunder, Western Michigan, and Adesanya headed into this weekend. Go Blue. Let's see more success here in the state of Michigan in the NCAA tournaments. We'll be back next week talking more sports in the Mitten State here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.